Take your Bibles tonight and turn with me, please, to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 1. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 1. I believe there's 10 verses in the chapter. I'll make reference to a few verses in various parts of the book before the night's over. Simple message tonight. Really, really simple. But I believe it's profound as well. Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the church at Thessalonica, said, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, some say Timotheus, and I won't argue, just so we know who Timothy is, amen, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all. I see Paul writing you all a lot, and that makes me think he was from the south, don't it you? Amen. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. Did you know that day may come for us? I mean, as far as I know, we received the word today joyfully and cheerfully and gladly. But the day may come when we may have to receive the word in much affliction. I've often said, who are we to think we're better than the early church was? The Bible said, with joy of the Holy Ghost. In other words, on the outside it hurt, but on the inside they were happy people. Amen. They had joy in their heart. The Bible said in verse 7, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. I don't have the figures in front of me. I just read it. Now, this was after Easter. It was not before Easter. But for every one time that Calvary and the cross and the sacrifice is spoken of, the resurrection is spoken of 8 times. I mean, it was a theme in the early church, amen, how that Jesus got up. That's what the world couldn't believe, amen, and that's what the church did believe. Let's pray and we'll get right into the message. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for our people that have gathered around the word of God tonight. And Lord, I believe we've gathered for help. We need you to help us tonight. God, I pray you'd help this preacher that he might be a help to his people. God, I pray tonight you'd help each one of us, Lord, to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to the church tonight. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that you just help those, Father, that are wayward. Those, Lord, I'm burdened about, Lord, several that say they know Jesus. But, Lord, their actions say different. God, I pray for them tonight. I pray, Lord, that some way or another the time would come when their actions would line up with their speech. I pray, Father, tonight that you'll bless your people. God, peradventure, Lord, I believe there is someone here tonight unsaved. I pray that, Lord, you'd stir in their heart, finger around their heart, Lord. God, you did that for me. I would have never been saved, Lord, had you not drawn me to an altar of conviction. Lord, I'm so glad for that opportunity you gave me. Give someone that opportunity this evening, Father, to hear the word and then to heed the message of God's word. God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Lest I forget it, we'll probably get a card in the mail from Brother Jones, and I'll be giving that to Brother Brian if we do. But he wanted me to be sure to tell you all that he enjoyed the week up here, and he was just ecstatic with the love offering. He said, this is what he said, Brother Brian. He said, preacher, you ought to kept part of that and just use that on the Bible school. That's what he said. I was telling him we were excited about Bible school. And then when he said that to me, I looked at him and I said, Brother Jones, have you ever wasted your breath before? Amen. And he looked at me and grinned. Amen. We're not going to keep part of the man of God's love offering. Amen. But I appreciate that spirit, don't you? I appreciate Brother Jones. Tonight, I want to look at this for a little bit. If I was going to call it something, I'm just crazy. Leave me alone. I'm having a good time. I'd call it the kind of church every pastor wants. The kind of church every pastor wants. Amen. I can remember a time in my ministry when the crowd had went from 165 and down to about 115. That took place in a period of about 8 months. It was a cold December morning when it got that low. I was kind of being picked at. And some people I wasn't preaching long enough. Some people I was preaching too long. Some I was preaching too hard, and some not hard enough. Amen. And it was just, I felt like I was surrounded by buzzards at times. Amen. Just picking at dead meat. Amen. I'm about to die. And I remember getting alone with the Lord one Sunday afternoon. And I said, Lord, I thought you brought me here to be able to work. And I tell you, I just wanted the Lord to be real pitiful to me. I read that in the book of James last night over there in James chapter 5, how that the Lord is very pitiful. I wanted him to show some pity on me. And the Lord said, son, you remember when you used to dream of getting to preach to 100 people? Boy, I tell you, I can remember laying in bed at night. I can remember that welding hood and raising it up and tears falling all out of it. I couldn't wait to pastor. And I said, yeah, Lord, I remember. I remember well, Lord. He said, you've got 115. Shut up and preach. I went back to the pulpit with a different attitude. I went back and I told the folk, I said, listen, I've got sick at my stomach the last time before I come to this pulpit. I said, I'm going to get in this book and I'm going to try to dig out what God wants for the service. I'm going to come to this pulpit and I'm going to preach it. And if you like it, I'm glad for you. And if you don't, I'm sad for you. But I'm not worrying about it anymore. Amen. And God took the church and the church grew. And to God be the glory. Amen. I never did have to get on any pills for my stomach. Amen. He healed me up. Amen. Let's look here tonight at three things I want us to see here tonight. And don't get too excited about that, because there's about 30 things under each three things. Amen. I'm just kidding. I want to look, first of all, here, let's just read down through it. It's Paul, and he said here, grace to you in verse number 1, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, we give thanks to God always for you all. This kind of church that I'm going to preach about tonight is easy to thank God for. Amen. We should thank God for all things. The Bible did say, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. But how many would admit tonight it's easier to thank God for some things than it is for other things? It's easier. And the kind of church tonight we're looking at, I'll show you there's a parallel here. And I caught this in my reading and studying, and then in the Scofield Bible, I caught this as well. But I'll show you three things here tonight in verse number 3 that line up with verse number 9 and verse number 10. The first thing tonight you would see in that kind of church would be a work of faith, a work of faith. I'll tell you tonight, everything that God does pleases him.
that pleases him is done through faith. The word of God said here, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. Notice in verse number 9, you say, preacher, what lines up there with the work of faith? He said, how that you turned to God from idols. There was some in America running around at one time preaching that repentance was not necessary for salvation because repentance was a work. It is a work. It's a work of the blessed Holy Spirit in a man's life. Say amen. And faith, amen. God works faith into a man's life, amen. Not against his will. I do not believe that, amen. But when a man or a woman or a boy or a girl gets sick and tired of the guilt and sick and tired of the shame and sick and tired of, my friend, of the sin, then they can come to Jesus. They can turn to God from their idols, amen. They can turn from their sin and turn to God in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's always a joy to a pastor's heart when he's pastoring people that have turned to God from the mess, amen. They've turned to the Savior and now they want to go with Him and serve Him. That's a work of faith. The Bible said here, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. Listen, I believe the work of faith is important. I believe it's a joy. Not only, one of the things we didn't get to see a lot in prison is when a person got saved, you didn't get to stay with them and disciple them. You went away and you didn't come back for 6 months. That's where Brother Long's ministry comes in. With the Discipleship Institute, they would send the lessons in the mail back and forth. They would do the lessons and send them back, and they'd grade them, send them another lesson back and forth in the mail, trying to teach them the precious Word of God. But it's a joy to a pastor's heart when he gets to see somebody saved, but they don't just get saved, but now, listen, in that faith, they begin to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to a pastor's heart, a work of faith. The Bible said they turn to God from idols. That's repentance. And by the way, without repentance, there is no salvation. Amen. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And without repentance, my friend, there is no salvation. Amen. I believe without a change, and the only way of going to be a change in a man's life is if he expresses godly sorrow. That means, my friend, he's not sorry just that he got caught, but he's sorry that he has offended a holy God with his sin. Amen. I believe there's a trap out there, don't you? I believe a lot of people have gotten caught in that trap. They're sorry they got caught. Amen. Instead of sorry that they sinned against God. A work of faith. They turn to God from idols. That's repentance. And my friend, it's a work that God does in a person's heart. Now listen, it's only right. When a work of faith takes place, there's something that ought to follow that. And that is a labor of love. A labor of love. Not a labor just of duty. Not a labor of demand. But a labor of love. The Bible said we love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. And I believe at the judgment seat of Christ, that's going to be one of the main criteria for everything that we've done. Did we do it for a show? Or did we do it for the Savior? Did we do it because we love Him? Or did we do it because of some other, my friend, benefit along the way? He said here in verse number 3, the second thing was a labor of love. If you'll look over here, the Bible said, they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turn to God from idols. And here it is in verse number 9, to serve the living and the true God. I'm going to make a statement tonight. It's a strong statement, I know. But why in the world? Let me just say this. If I were you, if my faith didn't take me to church, if my faith didn't cause me to want to pray, if my faith didn't take me to the Word of God, if my faith didn't cause me to want to be faithful, I'd wonder if I had the right kind of faith. Amen. The Bible said faith without works is dead being alone. I believe the Baptists have come along and done a good job at emphasizing, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But I believe the Baptist ought to go to the next verse. For we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained. God already settled that way back yonder, amen. When a man gets saved, he ought to go to work for the kingdom of God. It's already settled, amen. I'll tell you, that means that message this morning, we'd be hunting a shovel, clean the well out, amen. Oh, praise the Lord this morning, amen. Listen, I believe there's wells that need to be cleaned out. I believe the Philistines have stopped them up. Amen. And I believe we ought to get a shovel. And my friend, listen, get them cleaned out that somebody else might come along in a desert place and get a drink of living water. Amen. The work of faith, the labor of love. Turn with me to your Bibles over there to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to stay in 1 Thessalonians, the Lord willing. But look at chapter 5 for just a moment. Chapter 5, verse number, I believe we'll start with verse number 12 here. The Bible said, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. The Bible's talking about knowing them that labor among you. And then in verse 13, he said, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. Listen, that's the kind of church that every pastor wants. Amen. The kind that understands the work of the ministry. The kind where people, my friend, are at peace among themselves. And he said, now, we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. I'll tell you something. This is something God's helped me with. God's helped me with. Listen to me carefully right here. It's being patient towards all men. I believe with all of my heart, my friend, listen to me tonight. There's some things we better just put them in the hands of the God and wait on God to handle it. Amen. There were times earlier in my ministry when I'd wanted to get a hold of it like a bull in a china shop. Say amen. I'm telling you, God can take care of things. Amen. And he will. And we need to pray and be patient with men. But there's a time when you have to warn the unruly. Nobody likes that, and they've almost forgot that that's part of the ministry. You say, I got kids. How many of you going to warn them? I remember my daughter Amanda. She was very little, very, very, very small. We heated with a wood stove. I built a wood stove. Brother Randall had quarter-inch sides in it, double quarter-inch back, double quarter-inch top, and my wife built the fire so hot she warped it. I worked in steel, so I got me some half-inch plate. I parked that thing in the middle of the living room. Now listen, the house we lived in, we burned 12 cord of wood, 12 in one winter. If that tells you anything, amen? Now listen, the next winter we put plastic over the windows on the inside and the outside. That helped a little bit. Insulation, what's that? They didn't know what it was when they built that house, amen? Let me tell you this. We told my little girl, that stove is hot. That stove is hot, especially if Miss Eve's been around it. I guarantee you it's hot. Amen? I built that thing out of half-inch steel, and I said, you won't warp that one. Guess what? She warped it. How'd she do that? Trying to stay warm. That's how. Amen? Amen? Told Amanda, listen, that's hot. No, baby, no, that's hot. One day Eve and I were in the kitchen, and we heard a scream. Ah! You thought she died. And you know what happened? She couldn't take mom and dad's word for it. She had to touch it. And she had a blister on the end of that finger right there. I'm telling you, buddy, she had to touch it herself. Isn't it a shame that we won't heed the warning of God and we have to touch it ourselves? Amen. Oh, beloved friend, I appreciate the church, the work of faith in the church, the labor of love in the church. But let me give you this tonight. Number three. The patience of hope. Watch what the Bible said here. Remember him without ceasing, your work of faith and labor of love. And then this thirdly, and the patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. When you see the work of faith, you see it lined up in the word knowing. You know, Brother Larry, you mentioned when you were getting ready to sing, brother, some things I might wonder about or might worry about, but I know I've been saved. Amen. When I lay down at night, I know that. Oh, glory to God, it's good to have a bunch of folk that know that they know that they know that they've been redeemed. And then in the labor of love, there's the showing. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Watch here in verse number 7. The Bible said here, so that you were in samples or examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. How many believes when we get saved, we're supposed to be example to other believers? Amen. We're supposed to set the example. The Bible tells that over and over and over and over about the older ladies setting an example and teaching the younger ladies. Amen. It tells us over and over and over our responsibility as Christians. Amen. To be an example. To be an example. So the church that the pastor, he loves and he wants is one that knows that they're saved. One that's showing that they're saved. It comes out of them. Amen. That's where the Word of God said this. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Let that that's in the inside of you come out. Jesus said it like this, let your light so shine before men that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Someone said one time, if you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you of being a child of God? I'll tell you, that's serious. That's sobering. Amen. And there certainly ought to be the evidence. The Bible said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Amen. There ought to be some evidence. A work of faith, that's turning from to God from idols. A labor of love, that's serving the living God. But then the patience of hope. You say, preacher, what do you see here? Watch this now. We see knowing in verse number 4. We see them showing in verse number 7. But we see them going in verse number 8. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, watch what the Bible said. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, that's where they were. But watch this. But also in every place. Did you know what could happen? Listen to me carefully now. I remember the first time that I came and we had that first... I don't even think it was really called visitation at that time. We just got together before Bible school, and we were going to pass out flyers in the community. I remember well, 54 people came. And we went out, Brother Ralph, and took those flyers out into the community. And God blessed, amen. Listen, God blessed us as well as He did them. It's always a blessing to mind the Lord and obey the Lord, amen. I remember how the Lord worked in my heart and how the Lord worked in my heart and said, listen, you better not let that die. That's a good spirit. That's people that want to work. That's people that want to show their faith. That's people that want to go and sound out, amen, the word of the Lord. And I can remember, listen, even in these 2 years, I can remember times that I was high as a kite. You know what I mean? Just as proud as I could be. And then there are other times when old devil will jump up there and say, well, it ain't so high now. Ain't so many now. Might as well just give that program up now. Hello? Not going to give it up. Why? Because it's right. Because it's right. But I tell you, no wonder Paul was saying, listen, your faith, not only do you know your faith, and not only do you show your faith, but you're willing to go with your faith out into a world, amen, that's lost and dying without God. No wonder Paul was so thankful for the church at Thessalonica. Look here, if you will. In showing, you see an example. But in going, you see an expression. We're expressing. You say, preacher, I don't know what that's got to do with the patience of hope. Well, Brother John, don't get mad at me, but I got to use that one more time. We were up here at the church working on something. I mean, we were working head over heels and Brother John looked at me and he said, preacher, don't you believe in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ? I said, yes, I do, Brother John. He said, then what are we doing all this work for? He was just aggravating me, amen. I was telling Brother Jones, that was after the revival last year, and he said, Brother Jones said, you go back and tell Brother John, Jesus said, occupy till I come. Amen. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? Listen, the coming of the Lord ought to cause us to want to occupy till he comes. Amen. It should cause us not to want to be asleep. The Bible said, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. He said, I speak this to your shame. That's what he told the church at Corinth. Oh, beloved friend, a work of faith, a labor of love, the patience of hope. You say, preacher, where do you see that in verse number 10? Watch this now. And to wait, not only did they turn to God from idols, not only are they serving the true God, the living and the true God, they're occupying, but they're waiting for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. The patience of hope, waiting for his Son from heaven. You say, preacher, I don't know what that's got to do with being the kind of church that a pastor would love. Let me tell you this right now. Listen to him carefully. 1 John, I believe, chapter number 3. Oh, if I could get it started. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, how many knows what we're going to be like? Let me get it right. How many knows who we're going to be like? We're going to be like him. We shall see him as he is. We're going to be like him. Now you say, preacher, what in the world? What kind of impact does that have on a church? I'll tell you what. It says, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. If we really believe he's coming. I told Brother Jones, he repeated a little bit of something we said over dinner the other day. What I said to him was this. I said, Brother Jones, my life is not to be about being holier than you are. Holier than thou. Y'all have heard that, haven't you? Amen. That's not what my life is to be. I'm not supposed to be trying to be holier than Brother Ralph or holier than Brother Rose or holier than you men or holier than you. That's not what my life is supposed to be. But I tell you something right now, there's something wrong in my life if I do not want to be holier this time next year than I am this time this year. We're supposed to be, my friend, getting closer to him in the light of his coming. Now listen, listen to me carefully. I feel the need to back up right there. Positionally, I am as holy as I ever will be in Christ. But practically, he's still working on me. Is he working on you? Or have you already arrived? Amen? Amen. Paul said, I'm not there yet. I've not yet attained. I reach forth. I forget those things behind. I reach forth. I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's look at this in Thessalonians, this patience of hope for just a minute. We read these scriptures and hardly ever read them except maybe at a graveside. How we ought to read them right here in the house of God tonight. Look in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Paul said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Some of the Thessalonican brothers have already passed off the scene. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant about that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, there's the resurrection again. If we believe that he died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And so shall we ever be to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. The coming of the Lord. Patience. Patience. I thought I would preach out of the book of James this morning. God made it so real in my heart in James chapter number 5 yesterday evening. But the Lord had other things in mind for this morning. Oh, how we need patience. Listen, just a little while and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. We need patience as we wait on him. The Bible said, but the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, are they saying that? Then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You're the children of the light. That's the church, amen, the pastor loves. Amen. They know they're not children of the darkness. That's what they used to be. And they're looking for the Lord to come. They're waiting for the Lord to come. And they're living for the Lord while they wait for him to come. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Boy, I'd hate for Jesus to come back, Brother Houston, and say to me what he said to Peter and James and John. What? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Amen. Could you not watch for 1 hour? Brother Jones said to me, he said, I like to walk and pray, and I understand that. You get good and still, and you'll get good and asleep if you're not careful trying to pray. Say amen. But God wants us to be looking for him, living for him, leaning on him. The Bible said, for they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. For a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. This is one of the key verses that we believe that the church, the born again, the blood washed believer, will not go through the great tribulation. The time of Jacob's trouble, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Now watch this, he repeats something. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you do. Let me just say this tonight. If the coming of Jesus, if him coming back causes you to want to tear somebody else down, you've got a real bad problem. But him coming back, according to what I just read, ought to cause us to want to build one another up. Amen. Edify one another. Amen. And my friend, encourage one another along the way. I believe tonight, when Brother Larry said that, Brother Larry, the life that you're living right now, it's easy. It's easy. Easy to pray with John in the Revelation, even so come, Lord Jesus. There's days because of what's going on in his spinal cord, up in his neck, when his head feels like it's going to explode with pain. And he knows he's going to a place where he'll not even have a splinter that'll hurt, say amen, let alone a head that will explode with pain. The coming of the Lord. I believe with all of my heart, our Lord is saying to us here, let's be the kind of church where a work of faith has taken place. We've turned to God from idols. I hope and pray to God that everybody in this building tonight that was faithful to the revival got a blessing. And I hope and pray to God that if you weren't able to be in the revival, you have a judgment seat of Christ reason for not being in the revival. Because, my friend, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us will. A work of faith, a labor of love, and the patience of hope to wait for his dear Son from heaven. He's coming. Let me give you this and I'm done. I wrote this in the margin of my Bible. Knowing, showing, going. And I feel like that I've really, I've really felt guilty at times about the visitation and the prayer breakfast because it was not organized any better than it was. And Brother Kyle has helped me tremendously with that. He's just taken that and trying to organize that. And the young man is doing a fantastic job with that. And I thank God for that. But let me give you something that God spoke to my heart about. Organization ain't going to keep us going anyway. You say, preacher, what are you saying? It's an organism. The living God inside of us. That's the only thing that's going to keep us going. That's the only thing that's going to keep us, amen, on the right track and keep us doing what we're supposed to be doing for the glory of God Almighty. That's the only one, Brother John, that will help us stay burdened for Steve's and Matthew's and these men that need the Lord. People's sons and people's daughters that need the Lord. And young people that need the Lord. Older people that need the Lord. That's the only one. I'll never forget it. Never forget it. I stood to preach on a Wednesday night. I think it was November last year. I'm pretty sure it was November. And on a Wednesday night, I couldn't preach. I was so burdened. Charity said to me after church, she said, Daddy, thank you for not faking it, for just acting like everything was all right and going on. I was burdened. I said, I can't carry it. Someone in our church looked at me after the service was over and said, preacher, you don't have to. That's what we're here for. Do you have any idea what a blessing that was? I tell you, the average church in America thinks the preacher's supposed to carry everybody's burden, but they don't understand he's got one that needs to be carried once in a while too. I thank God for people that don't just bear my burden, but bear one another's burdens and are willing to take up our cross and follow Jesus. Every one of these young people need the Lord. They either have Him or they still need to receive Him as their Savior. But they need more than that. They need an example. They need somebody to set the example for them. By the way, they don't need somebody to just tell them. They need somebody to set the example for them. We're living in a generation. Listen, I dare say that's not going on around here. I don't think so at all. But we're living in a generation when many mothers and fathers will listen and say, do what I tell you to do. Don't do what I do. I smoke, but don't you smoke. I dip, but don't you dip. I go there, but don't you go there. No, that's not going to work. We need to set the example. And I believe that you are. What kind of church would every pastor want? One that's involved in a work of faith. One that's involved in a labor of love. And one that has this patience of hope. Listen. How many of you all really want to see God do a work in our church and in our community? Well, let me tell you something right now. We're going to have some patience. It's not a microwave thing. You can't throw it in a microwave. Say amen. A little while back, the Lord reminded me, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap. Anybody know the rest of it? Thank you, Brother Gail. If you faint not. Sometimes we faint right on the verge of a blessing from God. Amen. Let's not do that. Let's keep on keeping on for the glory of God. I'm not fussing at anybody tonight, but if you've dropped your shovel, pick it up. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't like all that extracurricular stuff. I'm going to tell you something right now. When I look at Calvary, I don't see anything that I do as extracurricular. Look what He's done for us. Amen. A labor of love and a patience of hope. Father in heaven, I thank You tonight for the privilege to stand here tonight and share the Word of God with our dear people. Lord, there are pastors all over this land
that would love to have a church like I have the privilege to pastor. God, there's a lot of things I don't know. God, I know I have some precious friends right here that pray for me, hold my hands up, that love this church, that have stuck by this church through thick and through thin, that love this community, that love their family. But Lord, none of that would be so if they did not first love Thee. God, I want to thank You tonight for our church. I pray, Father, that we would endeavor to be that church that every pastor would love to pastor. Lord, I know we're not perfect. Lord, I'd have messed that up when I come in. God, I know this. We're a people that You put together. Some are stronger than others. God, I pray You'd help us to bear the infirmities of the weak. I pray, Lord, that You'd help us to be patient. I pray, God, that You'd help us when it's needful to warn the unruly. I pray, oh God, that You'd help us to love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Because, Lord, You said, by this shall all men know that You're My disciples, if you have love one toward another. Lord, I pray that these teenagers that are sitting here, some of them have been hurt. I pray, God, they never experience that hurt again. God, deliver us. Help us to work together, labor together, and to patiently wait for Your Son from heaven. He's coming. God, I pray tonight, help us to be a soul-saving station. Help us to be a spiritual refuge where people could come in out of the storm and get help.